That is very powerful. That he came to take away something that you could never, ever repay. Let us not forget that the salvation you didn't pay for, but it was paid for with his life. Don't get too comfortable and get too caught up and be complacent in your salvation. Move with purpose. Breathe with intentions. Stretch for what is ahead of you, letting go what is behind you. Because what is behind you has a tendency to come and keep you bound by what you once were, but you no longer are. Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying? You were once born into sin, but the moment that you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, you are no longer called a sinner. There may be some actions in your life, but you will never be called a sinner. The moment that you feel that you are a sinner, you negate the power of the blood. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. Because you put away the old nature and you take on the new creation that he's created in you. The new nature. Whose nature? His nature. Amen? It's powerful to understand that what he came to do, he did in the 33 years, he did in 3.5 years of ministry. Isn't that something? In 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus Christ walked this earth as the anointed one. Many scholars believe that he began to do miracles before he was ever baptized in the Jordan, before the Spirit of God came upon him. And they said that there are actually manuscripts that are out there that prove that he was doing things even as a child. But we read in the Gospels that have been given to us and afforded to us by the scholars of before, it says that this is the man in 3.5 years that walked this earth and brought to him a group of people, 12. And with the 12, he began to change the way the world was. You don't need mass numbers to make a difference. You just need people that share the same vision, that share the same heart and passion of what you're doing. So look to your neighbor and say, I trust you. I believe in you. You are truly chosen. You are set apart for greatness. You're set apart for increase. You are a chosen priesthood. Get ready for your increase in knowledge, revelation, and of power. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Now, do you believe that confession? Do you believe that what you told your neighbor is true? Because what you were telling your neighbor, it was being told to you. What you just did is came in agreement with the Word of God. And when two or three come together and gather in his name, he is where? In the very midst. And all it takes is for someone to agree with you with the confessions out of your mouth. Then it shall be established here on earth, because it first came out of heaven waiting for someone to agree with the word. You agreed with that confession that came out of your mouth, and it shall be established. Amen? Well, I want to begin this message with you. I believe that God is speaking very profoundly in this very hour. I was going to minister a different word, and I told my son, Michael, I need to see you in the office quickly. He comes back to the office. I said, make sure that Benny does the tithes and offering, because I'm changing the message and I need some more time. Now, I was going to speak on the remnant, Popo. I was going to speak on the remnant. Last week, I was going to speak on the remnant again. And that shifted. So the Lord says, I want you to stay on this thing about shifting and transitioning. Shifting and transitioning. So I began to look it up, and the Lord began to show me some things. Unless we transition out of what we're in, you're never going to grow to the potential that I have for you. Did I speak to you at all this morning? So he has an opportunity to have a green thumb this weekend, and he's repotting some plants. You have to transition out of a containment that has kept you with restrictions so that you can be planted in an area that's going to allow growth. You've got to be transitioned. The shift will come when you listen to God. What will get in the way is your intellect. Your way of reasoning with God on how to tell God to do what he wants to do. God, you got to do it this way. It can't be there, can't be this, can't be that. It's got to be this way. And God will allow you to think that way and allow you to go that way so that you can see that your plans are not his plans. Your ways are not his ways. He's shifting. He's transitioning. He's repositioning. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2. When you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll begin reading out of the King James Version. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Let's stop right there real quick. You see there in verse 3 that King Herod the king was troubled, and so was Jerusalem. When you read in Scripture where it says Jerusalem, it's speaking of the church, the corporate body, the church. Even the church was troubled of what was said by these three wise men. Why would that be key for you to pay attention to? The reason why the church and the king were troubled by this questioning is that these were men that came from a distant land that were not of that nationality of the Jews, the actual people of God, and wasn't even from that region. So they questioned, how would someone, a foreigner from another land, know about the king that was to be born on their behalf? Hello? If someone was to come and tell you, Mom, that I've come from a distant land, someone you did not know, someone that was not in your vicinity or even in the area that you had any inclination who they were, but said, "I've come to worship your son," wouldn't that trouble you? "I've come to be in the very presence of the king. We've seen the star that is signifying his birth." What would you do then? Would it trouble your spirit? Would it make you wonder who these men really are? See, we read in Scripture, it says wise men, but in reality, back in the day, they recognized them as magicians. Magicians. Now, we know that magicians have a tendency to do things with smoke and mirrors and illusions. Hello, illusions. To make you see something that's not there, or make you see something that's there that's no longer there. It challenges your intellect. It challenges your faith. So when these magicians, these wise men came from a distance, when they questioned the king, watch this, even these foreigners came and did something very biblical and right and in order, and they had no idea how to do it other than what God gave them. Watch. When you enter into a kingdom, you don't just go looking around and asking questions. You go directly to the head. Went to the king and inquired of the king where this particular child was at. Why is that important for you to understand? Because as a king, you're supposed to know all those that are getting ready to give birth, Because it's going to increase your kingdom. You need to know who's carrying seed and who is getting ready to give birth so that it will increase your kingdom and you can bring the resources that are necessary for the one that's been carrying the seed. Huh. I hope you're hearing this. Have you been impregnated by a word from the Lord and you've been carrying the seed, getting ready to give birth, but the people around you don't take notice to the birthing that's about to take place? But it takes a foreigner, someone you don't know, someone from another land to come and speak something to you to get you ready for the birth that's really about to take place. There is something for us to pay attention to. Your kingdom is about to be increased and you don't even know it. Oh, Lord, I hope you hear this. What if the foreigners that came, and there's only, matter of fact, many people say there's three wise men. It wasn't three wise men, there was three gifts. It never numbers how many wise men. Many scholars have gone through and argued the fact that it was three of them, and they begin to name them by way of history. But what they brought to the baby were three gifts that were very important. Here's what I want you to understand. Before I go any further than this, lift up your right hand. This is the hand of blessing and authority. And I want you to put it right here on your belly and get ready. Because what is needed for your birthing and what is needed for your ministry and what is needed for your life is coming to you right now. And it's coming from a distant land. It's coming from the east. We have seen the star in the sky. And I'm bringing to you the gifts that are necessary for your ministry and this birth. God has sent a foreigner in the land to speak to you. Get ready for your transition. Get ready for your shift, for I am bringing the gifts that are necessary for the shifting in your life in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that declaration, if you believe that prophetic word, I want you to give the Lord a clap, give him a shout, give him a dance. I don't care what you're doing. It's what God is saying for you is I'm bringing a word from a distant land. There is a star that rose from the east. We have been following it for 2 years. We've been watching it for 2 years. Somebody hear this. They were carrying something inside of them saying, I know that there is a child to be born. He is the king of the Jews. Why would they follow for the king of the Jews? Oh, you better hear this. What business was it if it was a king of the Jews to someone that was not of that race? What business is it of these men that came from a distant land? They were foreigners to this land. What business was it? It was God's business. He had a purpose. Oh, watch this. Let's not forget. Now, we all know this story because in every time of Christmas comes around, we begin to hear about it. Oh, yeah, that the little baby's about to be born in a manger. But I want you to understand that they didn't make room for him in the city. They didn't make room for them in any household or any inn, any place. See, there's times where Jesus will come into your life and no one wants to make room for him. But the moment you open your doors, he steps right on in. And when you open your doors, your heart, you open it. He comes in and he begins to do things in your life that shifts your way of thinking. He shifts the way of being. He shifts your identity and what you once were to who you're going to become. He begins to shift inside of you. What was hopeless becomes hopeful. And what was faithless becomes faithful. He begins to do this because people that have denied him, he's looking for someone that will receive him. Oh, Lord. Please hear this. How is it that these magicians, astrologers, wise men, whatever you want to call them, they were called magi, that for 2 years they followed a star, knowing what the meaning was of this star? What will God use to draw you closer to Jesus? What will he use to make you follow him? Will he use a blessing, or will he use calamity? Will he use some hardships to get you on your knees? Yes. He will make you begin to search him out for what he has for you. It's not coming to fall on your lap. It ain't going to happen. It's not coming just because you said yes. More than ever, because you said yes, all hell is being broke loose around you. The moment that you accepted Christ into your life, all the demons around you started taking notice. That's not the same person that I've been afflicting. That's not the same person that I've been persecuting. This one is different. Now they've got hope and they've got purpose. They shifted and they transitioned into who they've become. Now they can't be contained in the old pot. They can't be contained in the old way. I've got to shift them. Ooh, you better hear this. What is God using to draw you closer to him? From a distant land for 2 years, they followed a star. And it wasn't even going to be their king. Just in that, I stopped at verse 3. In just this particular story, you begin to see the heart of God. My son, I have sent into this world as seed. Seed. I just finished that series. What is the system that the enemy is after? He's after your seed. So God says, if I put him in the church, he'll know where to find them. So I have to make sure the doors are closed. I've got to make sure that not just anybody accepts them. I've got to fulfill my purpose so that every prophecy about my son shall be fulfilled. Not just anybody is going to receive my son so that they can say, I birthed this child. You better hear this. When you receive a seed, a prophetic word into your spirit, all hell starts to break loose around you. Or it comes to challenge that very word. Because the moment you said, I receive, you begin to germinate that seed. It begins to die inside of you. We didn't discuss any of it. As a matter of fact, we haven't talked since last Sunday. I've had people say, you know what, I need to be in a church. Side note, rabbit trail. Just give me a minute. I need to be in a church that I know I can get in, get out, get what I need, and move on about my business. We have discussed with our leaders changing the way we do church here. And every single time we try it, it doesn't fit. It is so uncomfortable and unnatural to us here at the House of Manna that we go back to the way God intended. Do we not? I thank God for shifting a service the way he wants to do it. That the people can shift with him. That when he says go left, we go left. If he says stand still, we don't fight, we stand still. But when he says it's time for me to transition you, we don't fight his transition. We listen. And we pay attention to what he's bringing us. Why? Because the seed carries within itself the ability to break through the mold. I'm going to say it this way. I received a blessing with my vehicle a couple years ago. Some of y'all seen my car when I parked it out there. Those of you listening to the way the podcast, this will bless you. When you're obedient to do God's will, even in your lack, He always brings you what you need. What you cannot do, He's got someone else in mind within the body to bring to you, or outside of the body to bring to you what you need. So when they came to the door and says, the Lord told me to take you to go and get a car, I thought it was a joke. That's funny. I can't believe you said that because, you know, I really need one. No, I'm serious. Come on. Are you for real, for real? You know how we do? Are you for real, because I really don't believe? So we go. We go to this man that is not from this country. And he blesses us with this vehicle. And then he gives me this plant. He says, I want you to have it, preacher. Because you preach the word, you need to have this plant. Let me tell you a little bit about this plant. It has within itself, this is what he's telling me, to produce out of it the substance that is necessary to feed the butterflies. It attracts the butterflies. They stay. They'll eat the leaves, but then they'll put themselves as caterpillars and they'll begin to. They attach to the leaves. They attach to the root. They attach to the seed. Now, when they transition from a caterpillar to a butterfly, what they need to survive is right where they came from. Are you hearing this? We had a hard freeze 2 years ago. And I didn't move it inside. Matter of fact, I don't move any of my plants. If they're going to die, they're going to die. It's going to bless you. Watch this. Because God puts inside of us the ability to revive the seed from within through every season we go through. How many of you have gone to go buy some flowers and it says annuals? And you buy those annuals saying that this flower is only good for 1 year. I've had my annuals for about 6-7 years. They continue to bloom. Why? Because God never intended, my God, you better hear this, never intended for a seed not to keep producing after its kind. So I didn't take my plants in and all of them died. How many, all of them came back, did they not? The one that is the largest out of all of them is which one? The one the foreigner gave me. And the flowers are purple. It's taken over the fence where the neighbor is right there. It's overtaken it. It was just one little stem. Now it's taken over the fence. It's taken over even some of the other pots. And what I realized when I didn't take it out the first time, when I went to lift it up last year, all the root pushed the bottom of the pot out. And it kept digging into the soil. And it began to branch out into my yard. What the enemy's intentions are to contain you, what God has put inside of you is the ability to break out of the confinement so that you can grow beyond where you've been contained. Preach myself to my own answer. When God begins to transition you, He does it with His purpose in mind. His purpose. Now, we may feel like some of the things that he is doing in our life has no real meaning. This don't make any sense to your way of thinking. But to God, everything has been ordered just the way it's been. Have you ever heard the statement, I don't want to get ahead of God? It's an oxymoron. Like God didn't know you were going to do it. It's like when when God came into the garden, Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where he was at. What that is saying is I'm not sure if I should do it by faith or wait on God to push me into it. Amen. What pleases God? Faith. Is it our song? Is it our dance? Is it our giving? Some of y'all are like, I thought it was. No. Faith. Where does Jesus sit in the midst of the service? Right in front of the offering basket. He's not watching your seed. He's watching you, his seed, to see in the manner of which you are shifting in growth. Are you transitioning out of law into a place of gratitude in the giving unto him? Are you shifting? Are you transitioning? And are you being repositioned for what God's purpose really is? Do you understand? Takes me back to my text on verse 4 now. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 5. And they said unto him, who they, which is the people of Jerusalem. They said this. In Bethlehem of Judea. Isn't it one thing to know that the church knows where he's going to be born? They just don't know the timing. I don't know about you, but I know that every woman that has carried a child within them, they know when it's about to happen. They know. I don't know because I don't know how to carry a child. Can't. But in the spirit, I do know when it's time. And I hear the Spirit of God saying right now to each and every one of you, your time is now. Your time is now. Now watch this. If, I want you to think of this, if God can use a star to signal when Christ is being born here on the earth, and that people from a distant land can see it and come to him, don't you think in the end time he's going to give a sign in the sky that will draw people to him even the more? I don't know about you, how many of y'all been watching CNN nonstop because of this Hurricane Irma? That's all we have. And finally, I turned it off yesterday. I'm through. I'm through with it. We should have more deaths with these types of storms that have been going on. But there's not. There are some. That is nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace. And I was going to try to get all prophetic in it and get all the different names and tell you what it is and all the different alignments that have taken place. No. Because now we're trying to look for a sign. We should know by our spirit that things are shifting. How many of you are feeling that? Things are shifting. And if they're shifting, prepare yourself. Because there's purpose behind that shift. Amen. So now they're telling them it's in that place. They just didn't know when. Verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then King Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time, say with me, what time, again, what time the star appeared. Everybody wants to know the time of the birth. Everybody wants to know what time to move into your next place. Everybody wants to know the time of when I should move into this thing? What is the time that I should do this? What is the time that I should do this? I hear the Spirit of God saying that this is your time, church. It is the time for the church to be shifted into its rightful position to get ready, because what is coming in will be a rise of the waters that will make a people draw closer to Jesus. And I'm not even talking about the natural waters. I'm talking about judgment that is coming to the people based upon their convictions of their sin. It is a time of repentance. It's a time for people coming back into right alignment with Christ. That does not mean you're perfect. That does not mean you're going to be without sin. That means come into right alignment in fellowship with your King. When you come into fellowship with your King, worship is easy. Watch this. Watch. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word again that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the King, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Watch this. Went before them. It's one thing for the star to be in the sky. It's another thing that your star is moving, waiting on you. Stars tell you times and seasons. It's another thing when your faith to pursue God moves your star in alignment with you. Well, you missed that. You missed that. It's one thing to know that stars are placed in the firmament for times and seasons. But when your faith is in alignment with God, your time and your season moves with you. Oh, I just gave you a nugget from God that you better understand. Because many people say, "I've been in this season a long time." Maybe you're not connected to the right source. The more you get connected to the source, which is God, and what He's telling you to do by faith, your season's going to continue to be long. The moment they begin to inquire again where he was, the star began to move and lead them. Your season and your time will move with your faith. Watch this. And when they heard the King, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced, and with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him, and worshiped him, and worshiped him. How are you going to know that this is truly the King of the Jews, and this is a baby that has just been born? Scholars will tell you that it took him 2 years to follow the star. 2 years. That's why King Herod was asking the time the star appeared, so that he would know what years to go after on the young boys to kill. Because 2 years ago, the star came out. So he at least knew 2 years old, that's why I got to kill all the young boys, because 2 years ago, the star appeared. Time, seasons, calendars dictated by stars. When they fell down and worshiped him, and when they had opened what? Their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're going to stop at verse 11. I want to share this with you. When you come and worship the King, your treasures within you are opened. They are opened and they're released. They're presented to him for your use or his use. For his use, ultimately in you, for the kingdom. They carried it. They presented. Now what they were about to do next was about to hear from the God they did not know. Come on, guys. Please, please follow me. They weren't worshipers of Yahweh, God. They didn't know God the way we were supposed to know God. This was the king of the Jews. They were not Jews. So what God and his intention was, is I'm about to bring down these barriers, these walls that separate each and every mankind that is called to be different. I'm going to break down the barriers of religion. I'm going to break down the barriers of all types of biasness because of your skin color, because of your history or your background. I'm about to bring down the walls of prejudice. I'm breaking it all down. I had to bring someone from a foreign land to come and worship the God that you didn't know was here, that you have known from the prophets that I had sent you, but you didn't listen. So I had to bring somebody outside of the clan to tell you who he is, where he is, and for you to learn to worship him. My God, hear this. The only way you're going to get someone to worship a baby boy at 2 years old is by the Spirit, not by your eyes or your intellect. By the Spirit, you'll know truly that is the Son of God. Woo-wee. And they worshiped a Jewish Savior. Worship is not predicated on your lineage. It is not predicated on your history. Worship is an act that you do because you put worth in the individual. So when they presented these gifts, they're symbolic of what Jesus was to use later. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If someone was to come and tell you, after giving birth to your baby, I've brought you frankincense. Oh, was that nice? I like the smell. It's good. I know it from church. It smells good. But to Mary in the Bible, after the birth of her son, to smell frankincense and see it before her represented death. Even the seed had to die and germinate. Had to be prepared to go into the ground. But what I want to share with you on a different side, the flip side of this, is that before your journey continues on, God's going to shift you. He is going to shift you. And as he shifts you, he brings to you the provisions for trade in the next place that you're going. Hallelujah! I thank you, Jesus. My God. My own time with God. Excuse me. Sorry. My God. Thank you. Woo! Hallelujah. I find it very interesting that it's in verse 11 that this is presented. The number 11 represents a paradigm shift. The number 11 speaks of the shifting in numerics. And in this paradigm shift is when these wise men gave the gifts to the child and presented it before the mother and the father. This was significant because they were no longer going to go the way they came. They were going to go by a different route. They were no longer going to go back to what they once were. They were shifting, knowing they were before the king. And it changed their perception of what God has been showing them. It's no longer about a star. It's about the one that is the bright and morning star. There was a shift that took place. Mary and Joseph had to shift. Watch this. Verse 12. And being warned of God, this is the wise men, being warned of God, being warned of who? God. In a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Shift. Transition. Here's the transition. The transition was they no longer had to depend on the stars. They could depend on hearing from God themselves. They didn't have to depend on looking at the stars to understand times and seasons. They could go directly to the one that hung the stars, and they could hear from the one that created the stars. They could hear from the one that created the child. They could hear from the one from the source that created them. They began to have an understanding that God was greater than the stars that they were looking at. There was someone that was the creator of all things, and they trusted because when they had a dream that God gave them, they knew, we've got to listen and shift. Oh, my God. Let me remind you that the prophet Isaiah spoke against these astrologers. It was not biblical. It was not right to be an astrologer. Why is it that God spoke to them? Because they worshiped. They shifted their worship to the true star, the bright and morning star. No longer were they having to look up. Now they can just trust in their worship. Verse 13, and when they departed, watch this. When they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring the word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. Watch this. Here's the purpose. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. There is purpose for the shift. There is purpose for transition. Do not go about on your journey of faith getting mad of your transitions, getting mad of your circumstance, because God is going to shift you to where you need to go based upon what his plan is for his seed. You will always have transitions and shifts on your course to destiny. The purpose may not be revealed to you in the process, but the shift brings about his plan. Transitions bring something new, and it rids itself of something old. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Say it with me. Transition. You must transition out of the old. The old ways of thinking, the old ways of believing, and start to transition to the new things of God. Transition is a passage from one state to another. It's called change. Shift. To change the place, position, or direction. Move. In the Bible, there's many stories of transition, change, shifting, and moving. We see in Genesis where God shifts Adam. He shifts Adam and Eve because of the sin. He transitions them out of the garden and transitions them into another place. Does he not? Because of what? Because of their action. If they would have not sinned, they would have stayed in that place of fellowship with Christ, with God. Many times the enemy comes in to bring about all kinds of condemnation to you because maybe you have sinned. That condemnation makes you feel like God doesn't want you in the midst. Truth of the matter is, after they sinned, God came looking for Adam in the garden to still fellowship with him like he did every day. But because he hid from God and didn't obey, and didn't repent to say, I'm sorry. You don't read in Scripture where he repented. That's why there was a transition out of the original intent. Watch this. Sin shifted us from position, possession, and dominion to separation from fellowship with God. Sin shifted us from position, possession, and dominion to separation from fellowship with God. transition and shift. Things going in one direction, then miraculously change and now going in another. We see one thing being brought down, another one being brought up. We see captivity, then we see liberty. We see weeping, then we see joy. We see darkness giving way to light. We see death giving way to life. We see the old giving way to the new. We see transition, we see shift, things changing, things moving, all in the Bible. These things were so for no other reason other than God said, it is time. It is time to shift. It is time to transition into something that God has for each and every one of us. When he makes the shift and he transitions you, he's going to bring the resources to you that are necessary for where you're going. But if you stay where you're at and don't transition, those resources will be null and void. You will cancel out his promise in your life. Follow after the leading of the Spirit of God. Don't wait, because you will hinder your own possessions. Possession. You will hinder your own position. Positioning. You will hinder your own authority, because the authority that he's given you is where he's taking you. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold is used in expressing a surprise. Like, look, surprise, behold. I will do a new thing, something unprecedented in its wonder. Now represents its time now. It shall spring forth, meaning it will spring up to grow abundantly. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more, what? Abundantly. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and what? Abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. All right now. Watch this. The Strong's definition of abundance is a Strong's number, and you can write it down if you want to, is Strong's number 4053. It is pronounced pirosis, meaning abundant. It is derived from Strong's number 4012, meaning peri. Peri means all around excess, more than, beyond what is anticipated, exceeding expectation, more abundant, going past the expected limit, more than enough. What is that saying? Before we get too deep, he is going to do above what you're expecting him to do for you. He is also going to go above and beyond what your greatest expectations are. But the only way to achieve that expectation is to allow him to shift you by way of your thinking that you don't deserve it. All right, now. I'm talking to a bunch of believers in here that say, well, I do believe it's mine. I do believe. I told you before that it's not going to fall in your lap. You've got to go out and get what God is telling you to what? Get. Who is telling you to get? God. Is it you telling you to get? No. If he's transitioning you out of something, he's going to transition you into something new. You have to allow the old to be done away with so that you can grasp hold of what the new is. He's going to bless you above abundantly that you could ever ask or think, because he is that kind of God. Now, I'm not just talking about the money. I'm not talking about the increase that way. The biggest increase ever in your life will be the understanding of the power that is already in your life. When you understand the power that is already abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, going past the expectation more than enough that's inside of you, every time a transition comes, you're not going to look to see where the resources are at, because now, because you understand who you are, you understand the shift in the transition, you begin to walk things out by faith. Faith pleases God. God begins to release the resources even from a distant land. Look to your neighbor and say, you may be my distant brother, come on now, come on, and you may be my distant sister, but you're the one that God's going to use to be a blessing to the kingdom. Oh, see, y'all missed it. You got to understand that God has called his people to be a blessing to the purpose of his kingdom. For he said unto them, pray in this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now, timing, as it is in heaven, eternal, it is now. You don't ask for what is coming from above. All he's asking for you to do is to agree now, and it shall come after you. The Bible says that the blessings of God shall overtake you. Oh, man. Come here, Benny. Come here, Pastor Benny. Come here, Pastor Benny. Stand right here. Stand right here. Stand right here. I'm going to do it this way. He's a big dude. This is the blessing of God. The more that you begin to follow God, what follows you? The blessing follows you. When you stop, what stops? Your blessing. But when he transitions and shifts you in a new direction, does your blessing stay where it was at? The Bible says that by faith you please God. And as you continue by faith and you continue on, not looking for your blessing, but seeking after him, the blessing will come and will overtake you. Overtake me, brother. You big dude. Come on. It will come and overtake you. In other words, do you have enough room? Yeah, this is the word for you. Do you have enough room even though it's new? Do you have enough room even though it's brand new? Because even in the faith that it took to transition there, I'm also going to prepare for you another, because you're running out of room. The blessing becomes a part of you. Because am I staring at my blessing? Am I focused on my blessing? I'm focused on faith. What I can't see is what I'm pursuing. What I can't feel, I'm trusting. What I can't truly have an understanding of, I'm still looking for, because I'm pursuing after him. And when he says shift, I shift. I'm still not looking at my blessing. Because the moment you put your eyes on your blessing, you lose focus on your faith. But you see, the moment we keep walking towards what God has told us to shift for, the blessing is on you. Watch this. Oh, this is going to bless you. It's going to bless you. My blessing back here is struggling to follow me because he's a little going sideways with me. Watch this. Watch this. But the blessing, because of obedience to faith, you continue and you're dropping off resources in the wake. Oh, come on. What? Yeah, keep on, keep on. The word went forth that it's already too small. You need to increase. But the faith will continue to bring about the resources that are necessary for that growth. And because of the faith that I'm continuing on, it's going to begin to deposit in other people's lives, because I'm not focused on the blessing. The blessing is focused on blessing others behind me, because I'm not looking and focusing on my blessing. I'm just a blessed man to begin with because of my faith in him, and my blessing will always go with me everywhere I go. And whatever you're in need of, there's enough of the blessing to go around. You need to understand that there's enough blessing that has overtaken you. That have overtaken you that you can't even shake it off. You can't even throw it off. It's your faithfulness in the shifting after him that the blessing will remain on you, because it's not for you, it's for the others that you come in contact with. Oh, you better hear this, because where he's leading you is for a people to get blessed. And you think that you've got a gift, and the reality is the moment they come into your presence, God, they become blessed. Lest I remind you, when David was bringing the ark on a new cart into Jerusalem, it stumbled. The oxen stumbled and it almost fell. And so David had to shift and take the ark into Obed-Edom's house. And when the ark came into Obed-Edom's house, guess who was getting blessed? Obed-Edom. Was it just him? No. All of his family and his crops and his cattle, they were getting blessed and increasing. Why? Because the blessing was there as the presence, as the Ark of Covenant. And what that means is, because you're with me, my God, you're about to get blessed. Because you're on me, this is going to get on you. Because you're following after God and I follow after him, this blessing is coming on you. Why? Because his presence is not going to be still as long as I keep moving by faith. Don't matter what it says that your history dictates to you. It's what faith says when you can't see it come to pass yet that follows you. And what I just said is Obed-Edom was another foreigner. He wasn't even of a Jew. He was a Gentile. Meaning he had no right being around it. But the ark came into his house. If you carry his presence, your household and the extended household gets blessed. Kind of like having blessing. I mean, real blessing. Blessing. Overtake me. How about you? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Pastor. It's the shift and transition that it's when you make that turn, it's what he's about to show you in that turn. He's about to show you in the hardships. He's about to show you. Don't make a decision based on what you can see or based on your intellect, because that's not faith. If you just trust me, I'm going to shift you. I'll transition you into something new. And if you follow my faith, by faith, the blessing will overtake you. It will overtake you. Because what would have happened? Watch this, Mama. If David would have got angry at the circumstance when he was moving the cart and says, I won't move it again. Because death, watch this, death presented itself by doing it his way. David created a brand new cart to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city, which was not God's prescribed way. Over 30,000 people were with him watching what David did, not what God did. When this happened, someone died reaching out to steady the ark. Proof in anything that you're doing by flesh will cause death in people's lives. Death to their spirit, death to their faith, and they will quit following by faith. But, the report came back to David about the blessing that was taking place because the ark was in Obed-Edom's house. Do you think that challenged David? It's King David, by the way. It's King David. Do you think it challenged him? So how is it that this Gentile, this foreigner, is getting blessed And the one that you called to be king is out here pouting and mad because you took and you embarrassed me in front of all my followers on what I built on a new cart. You didn't like what I did for you, but you're blessing him, his household. He could have quit. Well, leave it there. I don't care. I'm not bitter. God bless you, Obed-Edom. He allowed the shift to shift him. The Bible says he inquired of the ephod, which represents the will of God. When he inquired of the will of God, he did it the right way. But watch this. When the ark shifted out and transitioned out of Obed-Edom's house, they had no biblical right to be anywhere near the ark. He had no biblical right at all in the Levitical priesthood. But because it was in his house, you better hear this. What was happening? God was instituting into Obed-Edom's house that your lineage is going to be a part of this presence from now to eternity. I will use your sons and your sons' sons and your daughters to be a blessing to take care of the articles of the tabernacle, even though you were a foreigner in the land. You better hear this. When you have an understanding that God is going to use you no matter of your background, no matter of what your religion has been in the past, what you may have done in the past. It doesn't cancel you. He's got a plan and a purpose to get his presence into your house. And when he shifts you out of that place, he will make a point in history to say, you will always be in my presence, and even your children's children will be blessed. They will be amongst my presence every step of the way. I will never leave them, never forsake them, and they will never, never, ever be begging for bread. Oh, you better hear this. He is shifting. He's shifting the body of Christ. Okay, now I'm going to get there. Now I'm going to go there. Now I'm going to go there. Irma. Hurricane Irma that is coming in to threaten Florida means goddess of war. Harvey represented embattlement, battle, cry, battle, war. Is he trying to get the attention of this nation? Yes. Is he sending? No. But God is methodical. He knows what would grab our attention. Watch what I said in the beginning. What is God using to draw you to Jesus? But in the midst of this, there have been some people that have been praying. There have been some people that have been praying that it's not a direct hit. And the models have showed that Irma, the goddess of war, who is in direct opposition with the God of heaven and earth, has shifted so many times with the path of uncertainty, and that what they thought was going to take place still hasn't happened to the magnitude that it should have. God is still on the throne. He is still in charge. He is looking after his seed. He is looking after his people, but he is shifting the course of destruction. And we're going to see that the church will be in its rightful position. Hear this. My God, hear this. What is the other one that's coming right behind Irma? Jose. Ay, pues mira, Jose, que viene ahorita. Jose. Jose quickly escalated to a level what? 5. Y'all don't want to hear this because I'm going to break it down. I don't know if you guys really want to hear it. And those on the podcast that want to challenge me, shut up. 5 is the number of what? Grace. Jose means the increaser. The abundant increaser. What the enemy meant for evil, God is turning for your good. and he's sending someone, his spirit, into the earth to turn things around, to increase his church, to increase faith once again. What is God using to draw you to Jesus? The increaser is coming. My God, you better hear this. If the enemy meant to do evil in your life, watch this. Hosea is a derivative of Joseph. Joseph, the dreamer, the outcast, the one that was set apart from his brothers, is saying that what you meant to kill me, imprison me, and to enslave me, I have become now the ruler in this place in Egypt as a governor so that I could be the deliverer of a people that didn't know that what you put in the ground in the pit was a seed that would transition me and shift me into a palace. I was in a pit, but now I'm in the palace so that I can transition my people to freedom and liberty. Hear this, people of God. Hear this. God is transitioning the church into its rightful position, that we will no longer look at people that are different and look at them different. We will no longer cast judgment on them because of their history, their past, or what their religious beliefs are. What we will do is break down the walls. God's ultimate intent is the moment that we accepted Christ, we become engrafted as brothers and sisters in Christ. We became brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can get rid of what your skin color is and what your past has been. You may not look like me, you may not worship like me, you may not praise like me, but we are still the same. We are brothers and sisters. These walls of segregation and separation are coming down. In this time of need, we need to see that God is bringing in the increase back to the land. And that increase in the abundance, exceedingly above all that we can even think of, he's increasing his love, his compassion in the land. Because what will override hatred and anger is true love. True love. Get ready because it's about to increase in this land. You can take down every monument that you want to take down. You can take down the Bible. You can take down all of this is taking place. But we're in the times that the earth is crying out. We're in the times where the creation is moaning and groaning with birthing pains. And then in this birthing pain, the earth is crying out for its creator, saying, it is time for you to come now. It is time now. It's getting too crazy. And the Bible says, so shall it be. Like the days of Noah. Speaks of a flood. Speaks about how the people were. Speaks about how their nature was and what their entitlement was. That I want to do everything that I want to do. Even though it's bad for me, I'm going to do it anyhow. So shall it be in the day, like the days of Noah, when the Son of Man shall return. That they will look to the heavens for a sign. I prove to you in the scripture that even the Magi didn't have to look to the stars anymore. They looked to the relationship. Who you worship is who you follow. If you're worshiping a man or a woman, woe unto you. But if you seek the living God, who's been proven through scripture and through history, he's the Son of the living God. He is the present help in time of trouble. I've heard more miracles and testimonies through all of this that's been going on. The Bible says we need to prepare ourselves for the great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, we need to be in deep intercession that those that need to hear who Christ really is, that we're not afraid or ashamed to speak to them. Because the moment you keep your mouth silent, that can be the life preserver to their soul. Cast that life preserver. Stand to your feet, church, if you would, please.
that instrumental. Thank you, Jesus. With every eye closed, bow your head if you would, please. In reverence to this very moment where the life preserver is being cast. As you stand there right now with your heart, the door of your heart being open to Christ, and you've heard the word, you've heard the gospel, which is the good news. It's not condemnation. It's the good news that there's a Savior that was born into this earth, died here on earth, buried here on earth. But on the third day, before he ascended, he descended and went into the pits of hell and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. And he ascended on high to sit at the right hand of God, his Father, where everything and all authority of heaven and earth has been given over to him, Jesus. The Bible says that the apostle Paul, who was Saul, transitioned from one person to a name change to Apostle Paul, from Saul to Paul, because he had an encounter with Jesus. An encounter. The Bible says when he saw Jesus, it was because he was blind. And when he saw him, his eyes were open. It says it wasn't open on that road. He had to go to a place. And in that home, the moment they prayed for him, his eyes were open. I pray that your eyes are open to know the true identity of Christ in your life. For those of you by way of podcast or by way of being here physically, with the sound of my voice, you can say, truly, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give it all. If that is you, I want you to step out of the aisle. Meet me up here at the front. You're not standing alone. I'm standing here. Step out of that aisle and come to the front and truly give your life, all of it, submitted to him. Because he paid a price for you. As you come by faith, and what I said about faith, as you come by faith, the blessing follows. That blessing is his presence that overtakes you and follows you everywhere you go. The Bible says that he is present in time of need, time of trouble, time of sorrow. He's there. He's very present in those needs, in those hours, in those seasons, in those times. He's there. Anger and bitterness can set in. But you have to let God take that out. As you stand there right now, open your heart to him. Whatever has kept me away from really, really pursuing you, God. Maybe it was a word that didn't manifest that caused me to be bitter towards you, angry towards you. I want to uproot it, God. I want you to get into that area of my life to help me. I want to let the old pass away. And I want to embrace the new. My old ways, God. Take them from me. Allow me to embrace the new. Speak to my mind. Renew my mind so that I can truly receive you in the fullness of who you really are. Personal to you. That's it. And this place is waiting, as we're waiting for him. want you to open your heart. Really open it up. Let him get right there. See, the more you open up to him, you're saying yes to him. And when you say yes to him, he will come in. He'll come into that very area that we keep locked up. Let him do it. Let him do it. This is your shift. And he shifts you out of the old and brings you into your new. Yeah. Trust his spirit. Trust his spirit. Oh, Father, as I pray for these individuals right now, prepare their hearts, prepare their minds. I speak to their spirit, man, Father, right now, to quicken to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Quicken them, Father, to receive. Quicken them to receive. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for their commitment unto you. I thank you that today they took that stand to say, I stand with you, God. And I give my life to you. They believe that you are the Son of God. They believe that you died for them. That you paid a debt that they couldn't pay. And they give their life over to you. They stand here today, signifying if they transition out of where they were and shifted into a new place. Lord, as we stand together as a family, I pray that you release the peace of Almighty God to envelop them right now, to walk them through everything that they need to go through and be there with them, guide them through it. Your word says, Lord, that you will be the shepherd, the good shepherd, that you'll lead them through the paths with your rod and your staff. Lead them, God. Though they walk through the valley of darkness and the shadow of death, they will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff are there to comfort them all the days of their life. These are your seed. These are your seeds. This is their time. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of their heads to the very soles of their feet, I release your blessing upon them, Father, as they have accepted you, as they walk with you, as you lead and you guide, that they faint not in doing good, but they continue to walk, being guided by your Spirit, Lord. I thank you for them right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Those of you that are standing here at the altar, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I accept you into my heart because I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins, and on the third day you resurrected, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for them. As we pray this together, we believe it together, and we touch and agree, and we say amen, amen, amen. This prayer is a prayer that helps you see things differently. It helps you transition internally so that whatever was once there will help you through it so that it won't be there again. So the pain, the heartache, the disappointment, maybe anger, maybe bitterness, whatever the case may be, will begin to diminish because he uproots and he plants peace, love, and understanding. Amen. How he does it with you is personal. It may not be like your neighbor, different how he knows how to work with you. Let him do it. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Glory, glory. Trey, you can stop the recording now.